Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
On today's Pardon My Take, we have 76ers owner and founder of Fanatics, Michael Rubin, on the show. We have a good talk with him. We're probably going to buy an NFL team with him. It's not a big deal. We also have March Madness. The tournament finally feels like it kicked off with that Tennessee-Purdue game. We recap all four games. We also have a new segment where we read every Tennessee volunteer's Twitter being big mad. A lot more coming your way on a good Friday. All right, guys. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by our YouTube channel. Go download it right now. Go subscribe. Do all that. Today is Friday, March 29th. This is March. We finally had our This Is March game. March Madness is back. Rick Barnes, your stupid fucking face. Matt Painter, you have slightly less of a stupid face, and I'm going to say some nice things about Purdue, but that was the game of the tournament other than the Duke game.
It got out of hand. It got out of hand pretty early, and it looked like Purdue was going to walk away.
Yes.
And then when Tennessee started coming back, you saw Matt Painter start to shit himself on the sideline.
It was like their stupid face was contagious. They were just passing it hot potato back and forth. Matt Painter having just insane runs on his team and just not calling a timeout. Mm-hmm. Rick Barnes with the end of the game try to get it to half court and call a timeout.
That was amazing.
I actually didn't
hate passes.
It.
I want to see more passes.
It was crazy.
Everybody touches the ball before we call a timeout.
The comeback was crazy. It was one of those games where every time they went down the court, it was like, here comes a big three, here comes a big block, here comes a big dunk, back and forth. And when a game peaks like that in March, and it's almost like the game, you lose control of the game.
Yeah.
No coach, no player. They just basically, everyone blacks out and just starts hitting, you know, pure shots like the Ryan Klein.
Like
kid.
Klein,
7-for-10.
Klein was, and he was the king of the no,
yes
shot. Like, it was like, that's a shitty shot. Wait, it swished again.
Yes. So, Purdue, shout out Purdue. I know I make some jokes at the expense of West Lafayette, but
Purdue'd.
Big Ten strong. That's like you make jokes within the family. Then when you get outside of the family, get to March Madness, you got to root for the family. So, Purdue standing up first time into the Elite Eight, I think, since 2000. So that was going to be a heartbreaking loss for Purdue. It was like one of those, they can blame the refs, Tennessee. They came back. It doesn't feel as heartbreaking for Tennessee as it would have for Purdue.
Yeah, for some reason, Purdue always has like a steady stream of tall white guys with the McLemore haircut that are on their team. Like a bunch of Guiles from Street Fighter just lining up, like six deep on the bench.
Yeah, Isaac Haast, right to Harms, that like didn't skip a beat.
Yeah, exactly. The first two letters are even the same.
Yes.
Like, I thought that it was Isaac Haast for the first like 5 minutes of the NCAA tournament this year when I was watching Purdue.
Right.
I was like, oh, he's still around? But yeah, they looked awesome. My big takeaway was the Tennessee uniforms. They should not be allowed to wear those pants and those warm-ups and those colors.
Those are Indianas.
Those are Indianas. And also, if I'm in a state that doesn't have a Whataburger and you're flashing those colors in my face, it's very triggering.
Oh, different Pantones, bro.
I think they're pretty similar.
Get Revelle to check that out. Revelle will be all up your ass.
Yeah, it's like creamsicle.
He'd be inside your ass.
Yeah.
Different Pantones.
Have you seen that conspiracy theory going around? Or the spoiler about the new Avengers movie?
No.
Of which I haven't seen any of them. But there's a theory that Thanos dies in this new one because Ant-Man crawls up his butt. Paul Rudd climbs up his butt and then expands into a normal-sized person while he's inside his ass.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I hope that's what happens.
That's really cool. It's like the people who put, what do they put up their ass? Gerbils?
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Gerbils up their ass.
Yeah, that's Richard Gere. Thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, no.
Richard Gere, what if, holy
was
shit.
Was it Richard Gere or Richard Simmons?
Richard Gere.
Richard Simmons just is disappeared.
Yeah.
There's that whole podcast.
Yeah, his ass is too sweaty to have anything stay up
there.
It'll just fall right out. Yeah.
Working hard.
Richard Gere, what if he had been playing Thanos inside the costume this entire time?
And it was actually just the sequel to Fugitive.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
That would be sick. Wait, Richard Gere wasn't in Fugitive.
No, not who's what was
Pretty Woman.
No, who's the guy in Fugitive?
That was Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. So yeah. We get all of our actors
remember,
with white hair.
You can remember
mixed up
Harrison Ford because he's got the old man earring, which is very unsettling.
Yeah, God, why did I think that was Richard Gere? They kind of are the same.
They're very similar.
They're very similar.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we have a new segment that we're going to do. We're going to test out. We're going to hopefully make this a thing. We were watching the Tennessee-Purdue game, and I turned to PFT with about 2 minutes left, and I was like, this is one of those games that either side that loses is going to be so, so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a new thing. It's called hashtag Big Mad, and it's kind of like Soggy Sorrows when one of our teams loses and we just get irrationally sad, mad, lashing out. So we had people, Tennessee fans, tweet us their instant reactions. So these were all within the first 10 minutes, and we're going to read them. You'll react. Let's just first say I didn't put in the blame the refs people because I honestly don't know. I think it's okay to say you don't know a call, whether it was the right call or not. Carson Edwards, it felt like he kind of kicked his leg out and also he kind of got bodied.
Yeah, he got bodied for
sure. And like, I feel like that's a 50-50 call. If you want to make the argument that the refs shouldn't make those calls at the end of games, I'll buy that. But I don't think you can blame it, that specific call, be like, it was completely wrong, like a New Orleans Saints call.
Listen, I'm always in favor of blaming the refs, so if it's your team that loses, it's way easier.
But
it helps you with the grieving process,
yeah.
But we won't entertain those on the show because I don't think that people are at home wanting to hear us talk about the refs.
Yes, all right, so here we go. Big Mad, this is from all Tennessee Volunteer fans within 10 minutes of the loss. I'm going to start with some perspective for everyone. This is from Wes Smith. He says, Tennessee always does this to me. Who cares? I still got a roof over my head, food in my belly, a pot to piss in. That's kind of...
Yeah, well, it is Tennessee.
There's toilets now.
Yeah.
And we're all going to die in the end. Hashtag who cares, hashtag big mad. That's good.
I like that. That's good.
Not Evan Nolte said, I got ACL surgery yesterday, so I've been stuck in bed watching this game. Like any other fan, I would have switched to a more lucky seat once we started losing, but I'm physically incapable.
Oh, it's Evan McNulty's fault, then.
No chance we lose if I'm able to walk.
Yeah, that's his fault.
I totally believe that's
fault.
Your fault.
Wait, so it's at who?
Not Evan Nolte. I think it might be
okay.
Evan Nolte.
Yeah, it is Evan Nolte, and it's all your fault.
It's all your fault, dude. Now, I love sports fans, because even though we're smarter than that,
we're
it's
not.
Your fault.
We're
it's
not.
Your fault,
we're
dude.
Not smarter than
yeah,
that.
You
trust me.
You should have retore your ACL to move a seat.
Yeah, I've moved a couch into a new apartment because that was my lucky couch before.
I've sat upside down for an entire game. All right, this is from just Ryan. I want to cry. I want to fight harms. I love Admiral. Rick Barnes is a man of God. I live in Indiana and would rather drink cyanide than go to work tomorrow. Vols are too athletic for college refs. Really hope Hank gets a cat. Damn it to hell, everything's shit.
I love that. Our team is too good for the officiating.
Too athletic.
That is a beautiful spin zone.
The college refs cannot keep up with Tennessee's athleticism.
Our pitcher throws too fast of a fastball for an umpire to judge whether or not it's a strike.
So good. Blake said, I'm so big mad right now that I'm going to drink orange vanilla Coke to punish myself for believing. Don't
it's
do that.
It's not that bad.
Don't do that. It's terrible.
It's not that bad.
The doorman said, Tennessee basketball makes me want to have Tennessee football back, and Tennessee football is the most heartbreaking thing in the world.
You don't mean that. Trust me, you don't mean that.
This one's
good. Maybe this is their punishment, Tennessee's punishment for getting rid of Greg Schiano after like half a day.
There were a lot of blame Greg Schiano tweets. This one's good that I didn't even think about in the moment. Skylar Brown said, I blame Chris Weber for telling Rick Barnes when to call timeouts.
Okay, that's good. That's
so
pretty good.
True.
That's pretty good.
Chris Weber throughout the entire game was like, he's got to call a timeout here. Chris.
Well, to be fair, if there's anybody that would know when not to call a timeout, it's Chris.
Right.
And in the last couple of years, he has been like the most, he's always the guy that like gets two steps ahead.
Yeah.
And talks about when you should call that timeout. So I would buy it from him.
Yes. All right. So Bronson said, I blame creepy looking Purdue Pete, Drew Brees, shitty college basketball refs, Darren Revelle, Leroy, Urban Meyer's health.
Fuck.
Coach K's back, AOC for making trains popular. Larry, the bus driver, not the fish. And they said, P.S., I take back Leroy. That was too far. 14
Thank
out of 10,
you.
Would boop.
Thank you.
I liked the AOC for making trains popular. That was
that's really good. But no strays caught by Neil Armstrong in that one.
Yeah, no strays
caught
by
Neil
Armstrong.
That he went to Purdue.
Yes. Graham said, the dude you pick last in every pickup game ever got hotter than Sean Miller in a fur coat. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ryan Klein is definitely someone that you need to get big mad about.
And he fouled out.
Yes.
He wasn't even there for overtime, right?
Yeah, no, he
yeah,
was
that
not.
Was tough.
Conway said, it's like I finally got over my abusive ex football, started seeing a great gal who treats me nice, then her and her convict ex-husband beat me to death with a pipe.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's short and sweet. This one is good. Kay Brand said, I blame our ancestors for ever seceding from the Union and picking up bad habits that have seeped into the fabric of our society in this great state. That was the match that lit the flame that started this national disaster. I'm going to pray on it.
So this guy wishes we were still playing soccer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. Well, the score of the Texas Tech-Michigan game was basically a footy match.
Yes, yes. We had a blame Obama. That still
of
goes.
Course, yeah.
Fuck my wife with Lane Kiffin. Fuck Klein. Eric said, fuck that fucking hairbrusher Klein. The dumb rims weren't built for free throws. I love that theory.
Mm-hmm.
Me for attending UT. My dad for having me born a Vol fan. Tyler Eifert, the announcer, for saying Edwards is Derrick Rose. But then him making free throws at clutch time.
Mm-hmm.
So Derrick Rose caught the last stray bullet there.
I like how everybody got a little taste.
Yes.
It's our fault collectively.
It is. And my two favorite, though, by far, is Tennessee's too athletic for the refs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something wrong with the rims just for free throws.
I blame Twitter, actually, for not having an Admiral Schofield Twitter account that was like the General Andrew Luck.
Yes.
That's a very easy one to do.
Yes.
Just put them on the front of a ship and talk about navigation.
So, Tennessee fans, sorry. Feel bad. Purdue marches on. Good for Purdue. I'm happy for Purdue. The other games that we had that were kind of... Breaking moose. That cow does not sound like our regular cow.
You healthy?
Breaking moose?
Mad cow disease?
Hank is on vacation.
Oh!
Yep.
Breaking moose.
I thought
Hank's
it sounded different.
That voice you just heard was Bubba. Hank is on vacation yet again.
Yes.
Yet again.
He literally is on vacation
yes,
right now.
Yet another vacation.
Uh-huh.
He's
earned it.
Now let me throw a little stay woke out there. Don't you think it's convenient that Hank went on vacation right before he might have to buy a cat?
Very convenient.
Very convenient. And not only that, but I'm pretty sure he's somewhere in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. which is very close to being able to hop on a boat and flee the country so you don't have to buy a cat.
That's true, but also there are tons of stray cats in Florida.
Yeah.
Just, they're everywhere. If you don't leave the state without a cat, people are like, where's your cat?
Yes.
Come on, take one of these for the road.
Yeah, so Hank is on vacation. The cat, he's going to get it. I really do think Duke is going to lose.
Well, it's like a baby moon for his cat. I kind of understand. This is like the last weekend of freedom before
yes.
he has all those responsibilities.
Yes.
He wanted to get out of the house for a little bit.
By the way, we got to mention, Hank, we have Virginia Tech. If Virginia Tech loses, they won't. But if they do, on Sunday, if Duke loses by double digits, he still has to get a cat.
Yep.
That's
so,
the rule.
Yeah, so we've got a fallback plan.
We still have this weekend to root against Duke.
And maybe we can bully Hank into thinking that, I don't know, we'll come back with something in the Final Four where he'll have to foster a cat.
Yes, yes.
Foster a series of kittens.
Yeah. All right, what is Breaking Moves brought to you by?
That Breaking Moves was brought to you by Built with Chocolate Milk, who has some helpful facts for anyone out there looking to get a cat soon.
Wow, you sound enthusiastic about it.
I'm very... The average cat lives to be about 16 years old, so if you are a 26-year-old producer and get a cat, it is likely you will still have that cat when you are 42 years old.
<That's> so-
In a day, the typical cat goes to the bathroom 3 times. Over the course of a year, a cat will go to the bathroom inside of your house over 1,000 times. And here's another fact. Chocolate milk not only tastes great, it's got real recovery with high-quality protein, carbs, and naturally occurring electrolytes your body needs. Pick up some after a tough workout and see for yourself.
Okay, so okay, thank you. Thank you, Bubba. Hank's on vacation. He'll be back on Sunday. The other games, PFD.
Yes.
Gonzaga, 1 win away from their first Final Four. I'm ready for it. It's been long enough. They've been the Cinderella team for long enough.
Mark Few's handstands are getting them there.
Mark Few's handstands. They're fucking awesome. Like, that was a game where Gonzaga doesn't play the greatest competition during the year, but, like, FSU would keep sneaking back in it, and they just lay the hammer back down. So, good for Gonzaga. We had Michigan score the lowest points. I think it was in tournament history in the first half.
It was like that game was like flushing a toilet, and it just wouldn't go all the way down. You just kept flushing it, and the rims just weren't letting anything in.
Yes, and so I think they scored 16 points. Texas Tech was fucking awesome on defense. Michigan, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say. I guess I've been there where my team scored like 16 points and a half.
Yeah. It was classic Big Ten football.
Yeah,
just on a basketball court.
It was pretty. Yeah, actually, that was the spin zone. That was the best that Jim Harbaugh's offense has looked in a long time.
There you go.
16 points in the first half.
16 points in the first half. It's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. Two touchdowns and 2 two-point conversions. He's growing with the times.
Yeah, I just don't know. Texas Tech, yes, their defense is really good, but also Michigan's offense sucks.
Yeah.
So when I don't know who they're playing the next round.
They'll play Gonzaga.
Playing Gonzaga in the next round. It's going to be a different
right?
story.
Yes, they will play
It's going to be a different story.
Yeah, so I don't know. Texas Tech is such a weird school. Like, they can't be a basketball school, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and no. I mean, they had Bobby Knight for a while.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good point.
That put the stink of basketball on them
for
a while.
And he made that stupid show where they, like, did the walk-on. Remember that?
Was that at Texas Tech?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had a walk-on show where he basically tried to find a walk-on, like a reality show.
And just gave it to his son. That's what they should have done.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Bobby Knight's good counterpoint, but I just don't know. I like them. I like their coach, Beard. He's awesome. But I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet to be like, I'm just getting used to Gonzaga being in the tournament every year.
Right. And there are a lot of people saying, like, when did Gonzaga get good athletes? They've had good athletes for a while.
Yes, actually a long while.
Ever heard of Adam Morrison?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He could do it all.
Yes.
Shoot and cry.
Ever heard of Kyle Wilcher?
Oh, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam Morrison, truther. Kyle Wilcher.
That's right.
Shout out Kyle.
That's looking through the truth or looking glass right now.
Yeah,
there.
One of our first guests on Part of My Take. And then Virginia, finally. I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I deserve some credit, don't I? Because I guaranteed that Virginia would get to the Elite Eight at least. I put them on my back.
That's right.
I believe in them.
That's right.
So they're there.
They survived their scare. They're a really good team as long as it's not the opening weekend.
Yeah.
It just takes them like 48 hours to find a rhythm.
Or if they have to play Duke. That's it.
That's also true.
Yeah. So Virginia, good job, Tony Bennett. You finally have proven everyone. You got to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, Tony Bennett, he's almost too pretty to be. He doesn't sweat enough. That's the problem with him. So if you're a pretty college basketball coach, you have to sweat a lot.
Yep.
Otherwise, I don't think that you're working hard. I don't think you're gritty enough.
Yep. So speaking of sweat, we got Bruce Pearl, Auburn versus UNC, Duke versus Virginia Tech. I can't remember the other. Michigan State is playing.
Kentucky is playing.
Houston.
And Michigan State is playing LSU. Yep.
I'm very excited for Friday Night Hoops. I love Virginia Tech. I really do.
I do too.
Not because of Buzz.
I like Virginia Tech. I like LSU.
Yep.
I like
Kentucky
and UNC.
Yep. Talk to you into that one. But we'll go with it.
Well, I don't know if PJ Washington's playing or not.
Doesn't matter.
Kentucky.
Doesn't matter.
Love him. Tyler Brad Hero. Swag's in the house.
I'm claiming if Kentucky wins the national championship with Tyler Hero, I think that counts as like 1/12 Wisconsin's title.
There you go. Yeah, whatever it takes. So I've also noticed a new trend where you can bet on what Brad Calipari is wearing for the game.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with, I think he's going Canadian tuxedo.
Okay.
Denim, and then like a bolo tie.
Okay. I like that. I think he's going to probably go maybe a white shirt with some kind of funny thing on it and then a big old chain.
Ooh, what if he wore a graphic tee of his own face and body wearing a different swaggy uniform?
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can just kind of fuck everyone's brain up.
Yeah.
All right, so the other things we had to do before we get to Michael Rubin, opening day is here. Well, it was here last week, but it's back. baseball, and officially the first sign of baseball being back, the first sign of the new era of baseball, Philadelphia booed Bryce Harper.
Yeah, tough scene for Bryce. After, what, like three at-bats, he struck out twice,
yep.
Went 0 for 3. I think he was intentionally walked later on.
Mm-hmm.
It was rough, and he's tried very hard to embrace Philadelphia. He's, like, become a Philly guy now.
By saying he would bring the trophy to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, and also by saying, like, I'm so excited to see the Liberty Bell while he was there. So he's, like, really embodying the culture of Philadelphia. He did not look alive out there.
No.
I'm going to have a Bryce Harper looking alive meter. Not looking alive.
Not looking alive. Now, I will say that there was probably about 10 people that booed, but that doesn't, like, it's hilarious. I want all of Philly to boo Bryce when he's not good early on, because that's why I love Philly. Like, reacting to a 13-year contract on the first day is so fucking awesome, and, like, that's why Philly is great.
It does set a tone.
Yes.
And you know what? Good for him setting a tone on the other end of the spectrum. Like, nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Well, you earned your money. Now you got to earn our love.
There you go.
Put that on a shirt, Liam. Mm-hmm.
Did you
write that down?
I think it was a tweet he had, or like a Instagram story, but it was basically like things to do in Philly. He was asking places to eat, like places to see movies and stuff, and then like in the middle of it, like things to do. Like, but it was like dead serious, like places to go. Just asking
everything.
About Philly.
Very open ended. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Rocky Steps.
Yeah, geez, Bryce. The good news is you're right. He has only 12 years and 11 months and 30 days left on his contract there. So it'll be over before you know it.
You'll blink.
Blink an eye and you'll be gone. Yeah,
it's perfect. We also had with the start of baseball. Where do you stand on pace Twitter?
I'm actually not that opposed to it anymore because I don't think anybody does on pace yet.
Okay.
Like,
I did. Javi Baez is on pace for 324 home runs.
Okay. It used to be a big on pace day.
Yeah.
I feel like that's died down, and now you're seeing just more of people complaining about people who are doing on pace day tweets.
The pendulum, that is the full Twitter, like, human centipede where we all just put our pucker up our lips and eat each other's shit assholes.
Yes.
While they tweet, like, dumpster, like, crap down our throats.
Uh-huh.
That's where we're at.
Speaking of getting something off my chest, did you notice the new fashion trend in starting pitchers?
No.
So they're unbuttoning their shirts down to like their nipples, but they're showing a lot of cleavage.
Love it.
There were like three different pitchers out there that had that. So I'm in favor of that. But I think the pitchers that all had it today were like shaved chest guys. I need like a big bush hairy guy, like an old Italian guy.
Fuck.
With a chain. It's pretty sweet.
Bartolo Colon retired 1 year too early.
It'd be amazing.
God damn it.
Like a bunch of thoughts out there.
Imagine if they just
thawing pitchers.
If jerseys were optional for pitchers, Jake Arrieta would definitely go topless. He is a big button it down, nothing underneath guy.
Yeah, I think that top should be just, you shouldn't have to wear a top if you're a baseball player.
Yeah, if you're anyone.
Or actually, strike that. If you're a manager, it should be mandatory that you're shirtless.
Yes.
Just the pants and the belt.
Manager. Well, do we should do like a bodies of baseball, and it's just all the managers.
They're all amazing.
It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
All right, so baseball, well, obviously, it's day one of 162.
Mm-hmm.
We got this. I'm actually excited when opening day comes back. It takes, after opening day, it's like 2 months of following, but not like, locked in.
Yeah.
But opening day is always great.
It is, unless your dad takes you to an Orioles game and then turns around and drives you right back to school.
Yes, then that sucks.
Then that's not. It takes kind of the luster off it.
Ruins your childhood.
Yeah, ruins baseball for me.
All right, last up before we get to Michael Rubin, we have what's up with the Jordans? So I forgot we have to also talk about Jordan Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So Jordan Howard was traded from the Bears to the Eagles for a 6th-round pick, possibly a 5th-round pick conditionally. I don't really understand it. I like, my knee-jerk reaction was trust in Ryan Pace because he's doing everything right.
Yep.
But then I thought about it more, and it's like you couldn't make it work with this guy. Because basically the understanding I have is that Matt Nagy just didn't like him being in his offense.
Right. And I think there probably is some truth to that. He's not the greatest fit in that offense.
No. Because it was kind of a tell, like, you're going to run the ball when he's on the field.
Right, and he's more of just like a guy that is going to try to run you. He's got some power, right? He's not as shifty as Tariq Cohen. So I get it. He's going from one long to another, right?
Right.
Chris is inheriting him from Kyle. Kyle was big mad about that.
Yeah.
When they traded him.
Well, because, listen, it takes away the ability to say the Bears just need to run the ball between the tackles in January. I can't say that anymore because we don't, really don't have that guy.
What is a new guy? Mike Davis
yeah. From Seattle. But I think he catches more. But like Jordan Howard, yeah, he was 1,000 yards, like 900 yards, first mm-hmm. 3 years in his career.
He's going to be so psyched to run on some artificial turf as opposed to like that bare, that winter yes. turf that you guys have there.
Yeah, although, no, does Philly do grass? I think Philly still does grass.
I think they do too. I'm always confused because it always looks really nice.
Yes, yes.
They've Philly got a good field.
They spray paint it very nicely. Good job, Philly.
We say nice things about Philly.
Yeah, and then the other Jordan. So my final take on the Jordan Howard trade is I get it. But I feel still like they could have gotten more or made it work. Like, mm-hmm. if you have a player like that, being like he doesn't fit our offense, good coaches make, you know, talented players fit their offense.
Yeah, and also if you ever root for a football team and you have a 1,000-yard back, you will have an emotional bond for life
right.
with that guy. Like, he had 1,000 yards.
Twice.
It's a big season.
Twice.
Yeah.
And his name was Jordan.
And he's young. He's 24, right?
Yeah, and he's cool. He looks cool.
That's the worst part, yeah.
Yeah, with the visor. He looks cool. Jordan Bell.
Yes.
So explain the story, PFT.
So Jordan Bell got, I think he got suspended by the Warriors.
Yes.
Because he charged an item to his, to the assistant coach, Mike
Brown.
Yeah. He charged.
Big doofus.
Yeah. Well, did LeBron get him out of Cleveland?
No, LeBron bumped
okay,
him.
Okay. So he's a member of the LeBron James has been fired. Entourage. So, I guess Jordan Bell charged an item to Mike Brown's room, and then Mike Brown got really upset about it and reported him, snitched on him.
And he had been doing it more than once.
Yeah, so everybody was like, what could this be? Did he, like, order porn to the room? What's going on? This is, like, a very weird thing that's going on. Turns out he just bought a scented candle in the hotel gift shop for $15 and then charged it to Mike Brown's room as a prank. Like, he's done this before, and guys on the team had done it to each other, like to KD.
Interesting.
But this, I guess Mike Brown was not aware of the prank.
Oh.
And so they found out it was Jordan. They suspended him, and Leroy got to break the news that it was a candle. Yeah.
So he got one right.
He got one right.
What's the record right now?
Like something like 2-9. In dog years, that's like, wait, in dog years, that's 14-64.
2-9, but he got that one right.
63.
Well, yeah, he's on pace for like 400 scoops then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He is on. Good point, Bubba.
He's going to keep scooping it up.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny that it's Mike Brown because he is, like, ever since, I know this sounds really stupid, but ever since LeBron bumped Mike Brown, I'm like, Mike Brown can just be bumped. He's a guy who just can be bumped.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can just bump him. You can send candles to his room. You can prank him. You get bumped on national television once, everyone just can kind of alpha you and bump you.
He's a great fall guy, though.
Yeah, he
is. If things go wrong in this postseason, he's probably the first one out.
Right, and he also has like the perfect, is it a fake name, not a fake name, because it's so kind of generic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll send those candles up right away.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. But yeah, a scented candle, $15. I bet they wish that this story never got out.
Yes. Yeah, that feels like, but maybe this is what brings down the Warriors.
Yeah, maybe.
Candlegate.
There you go. Yeah. Well, KD was involved in these hijinks from the start.
Of course he was.
So he's breaking the team up.
That little jokester.
Yeah.
God damn it. Get on the fucking podcast, you BBB.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, here is 76ers owner Michael Rubin. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest, long overdue. It is Michael Rubin. He has created Fanatics. He is a part owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, part owner of the New Jersey Devils, but more importantly, we share a very close mutual friend in Meek Mill.
We do.
Do you think Meek Mill likes me?
He doesn't like you. He loves you. Like he told
he doesn't know
me.
It was, me.
It was,
you're
it
just
was
lying.
Like it was like love at first sight. What do you mean? You were at the game with us. That
yeah,
was,
I know. Yeah, but
I mean, he was like, "That's my guy."
When,
I mean,
when I saw him at your party at the Super Bowl party, I had to say to him, "Like, hey, Meek, what's going on? We should go to a game together, like the game we went to together in Philadelphia, the Sixers and the Rockets. Remember?" And he was like, wait, oh, okay, yeah.
He's been calling me every morning saying, like, yo, when is Big Cat coming back? I mean, he's like, his life is not complete without you at the games.
Yes, yes. Sidebar on that, I know we just met a second ago, but do you think that Cardi B would like me?
Love.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know.
Love you.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I'm ratchet.
So, I get love at first sight as well.
Yeah, so we want to get in a bunch of stuff, but for people who don't know your backstory and how you have gotten to the place you are right now, I want to do a quick little bit on that. So you obviously were on the Corp with A-Rod and myself, but for people who don't understand,
that was my first podcast ever.
It was.
Yes.
You were very nervous. You puked right before.
I think this is my second. Actually, it's my third now.
Oh, what was the one in between?
We do one on criminal justice reform with Jason Flom.
I want to get to that too. All right. So give us the quick story about how you went from Michael Rubin, just regular kid growing up, to I now own part of the Sixers and Fanatics.
Well, I was probably never a regular.
Okay.
So let's start with that.
That's true.
Yeah, I was like the worst student you could possibly find. I was definitely the worst athlete you could ever find. But I was actually only good at one thing, which was business and work. And I always loved to, always from the time I was a kid, I loved business. I loved selling things. I loved working. And I started as an entrepreneur at a really young age. I was literally like, 8 years old, started selling vegetable seeds door to door. When it would snow, like it's going to snow today, we do, I'd have five kids work with me and I'd sell the snow shoveling. I was selling baseball cards, but to my friends' parents, not to my friends. Mm. And it's just like, it was the only thing I was good at.
Did you watch anything about the Firefest documentary and all that stuff?
I watched no TV, but I was forced to watch that by my girlfriend last week, so I did watch it.
So I just thought of this. Do you think that if you grew up in the social media age, you might have been Billy McFarlane because you would have gotten like the trappings of Instagram?
You know, the truth be told, and I'll just be blunt about this. When you're, and I don't know anything about him, but I do think when I was much, I'm now 46. When I was in my teens, it's easy to do dumb shit.
Right.
And people who say it's not just don't get it. So you can make mistakes. I remember as a kid, I would, write checks that I didn't have the money for, because I was 15 years old and you were trying to, you knew the bank took 3 days, for a check to clear, and you'd hope that you'd have 3 days of sales by the time the check cleared.
Right.
Yeah. So do I think it's easy as a young entrepreneur to screw stuff up if you don't have the right people around you and the right people to learn from? I do.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I think you're selling yourself a little bit short athletics-wise because I saw your jump shot that you were shooting around before the All-Star game with Joel Embiid, and you nailed it. You hit a three.
I'll tell you your form,
pretty good.
I thought my form was awful. So the story of that is Joel walked over to me and he basically said, I'll give you five shots for an undisclosed amount of money. It was a meaningful amount of money.
Okay.
I said, let's go. I made it on the first shot. Then I said, let's go double. Let's go actually five times the bet.
Uh-huh.
He said, fine, five shots. I was over five. I didn't hit the rim. So
yeah, should have walked away.
That's a big part of business.
I didn't know when to walk away.
And now Joel's got like a little ATM from my gambling losses.
So I did a little bit of research on your background.
Obviously, they were only little losses.
Yes. Undisclosed wager.
Undisclosed amount of money always means a small amount.
It was actually Krispy Kreme donuts for using payments back and forth.
Okay, smart. So that's right. You get around salary cap stuff that way, right?
By just donuts are allowed. Yeah.
But I did a little bit of research on your background, and I read that you owned a ski shop when you were, 12 years old? You're the owner. What were you like as a boss at the age of 12?
Well, at 12, I didn't really have any employees. At 14, what happened was I opened a ski tuning shop in my parents' basement where I kind of fixed skis, and I did that first year at 12 years old. Then I actually had a bunch of people who lent me their excess ski equipment at 13. I actually did $25,000 in my parents' basement. By the way, most profitable year of my entire business career. If you'd say I've now been in business for like 40 years or 38 years, those are the highest gross margins, least aggravation I've ever had. I think I had like $25,000 of revenue and $15,000 of profits. And then a year later, I opened a ski shop about 5 minutes from my parents' house. And then I hired people for the first time. I actually think I was a great boss as a kid because I was always learning from people. I always created the right environment. I've got a lot of good skills and a lot of bad skills, but I think creating the right environment is something I was actually always pretty decent at.
Okay, so fast forward. The ski shop you've talked about this, but basically it was your first failure. You find out what failure kind of tastes like and bounce back from it. And tell me how, like, I don't think we even got into this, how Fanatics kind of came together and how that entire process, because it seems like that was something that was very on the cutting edge and ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, where online business is going and how people shop online.
Yeah, so I started a company in 1998 called GSI Commerce. And GSI Commerce became really the largest provider of e-commerce and marketing services to big retailers and big brands. So what that means in, like, simple terms is, like, a company like Ralph Lauren or Toys R Us or GNC used GSI to run most, if not all, aspects of its e-commerce business. As part of that business, we worked with the five sports leagues. We had the NFL shop, the NBA store, the NHL store, Major League Baseball store, and NASCAR. And so I sold the company to eBay for $2.4 billion in 2011. And when they bought the company, they didn't want the businesses that we had that owned inventory. So I bought back three businesses from eBay, including Fanatics. So in 2011, I bought back Fanatics from eBay. It was a pretty small company then. It was only about $250 million. And then we completely reinvented the business from 2011 to what it looks like today.
How much do you think it's in the name? I was thinking about the other day.
Yeah.
Fanatics is like the solid. That's the name. The name for any kind of shop. Like, it says everything right there.
I think it's a great brand. I think it's a great name. But I think that's not what's made the company so successful. I think what made the company so successful, and by the way, we're just getting started, so I don't want to say it's so successful. What's made it, given it the success we've had to date, has really been we've had this huge appreciation that there are two companies that are taking over the world from a retail perspective. One is Amazon, another is Alibaba, which is kind of the biggest e-commerce company in China. And so our belief was that there was no way to really compete with these companies in e-commerce if you weren't completely differentiated. So we built a model that was completely differentiated from Amazon and Alibaba. And I'll tell you, people look at me and ask me Amazon questions all the time. I'm like, hey, if it wasn't for their incredible success, we wouldn't have built the business that we built today. And what makes us so different is most of what we sell is not available through other marketplaces. And we have this incredible assortment of merchandise, more than a million SKUs in every league, every size, every product, every way you contemplate it, you know, generally in stock for whatever the sports fan wants. And that incredible assortment of merchandise is really driving the licensed sports business because prior to the advent of the internet, all this inventory wasn't available. And we do it in a vertical basis, which allows us to better supply the fan and it allows us to have unique and differentiated merchandise. And the most exciting thing, we feel like we're just getting started. Like, this company, we think we've got so much growth ahead of us.
Throwbacks.
By the way, throwbacks are a big business. We're now expanding to college in a big way. Oh. We're expanding to soccer in a big way. We're globalizing in a big way. And we've got big growth in our core businesses. I mean, last year, you know, take the NFL as an example. We actually grew by, you know, nearly 30% last year. So,
that's crazy.
You know, massive growth, you know, across the board.
Throwbacks, though. Like, hoodless, sweatshirt. Throwbacks.
Maybe we could.
This is actually just what I want to wear. But
yeah. Maybe we could actually license Big Cat's name. We could actually do Big Cat throwbacks.
That would be great. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you need that. You also, if you throw in a Looney Tunes character, I'm more likely to buy it.
Yeah.
Also, that's just kind of how
to represent yourself.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Short shorts are coming back too.
Yeah.
So get on like the front step of that. Like, short shorts and basketball.
So long as I don't have to wear them, we're good. I need everything big, baggy, and long these days.
Do you guys do the NCAA championship basketball shirts?
Yes.
Have you done it in the past?
I believe so. I don't know.
Because that was the one thing I always beat Ravel on. He got so mad because I had a source, a deep inside source, who would send me the mock-ups before the championship game.
Well,
and I would,
you know, last,
tweet it.
Last time I saw you when we did Alex's show together, you asked me if we could give you like once a year.
Yes.
I committed that we'd find one thing to
okay,
to,
so you still owe it to us.
Yeah, I owe it to you,
okay,
for sure.
That actually is going to happen. All right, so Fanatics, fantastic company. Everyone knows it. You then go into doing what basically the dream for every rich guy, and that is to be a part of owning a team. I own a team myself, but whatever, that's beside the point. How was the process from an ownership standpoint? Like, were there dark times where you're like, this might never work? Like, we might just be being bad every single year.
Yeah, so, you know, I would say in any business that I've been involved with, and I think the Sixers was no different, we think long term. And so I think for you know, whether the way I build Fanatics or Rue La La and Gilt that I own or ShopRunner, we think about where's the business going to be in 5 years and 10 years. And I think David and Josh, we want to, you know, adopt a similar long-term mentality toward the Sixers. And I think certainly you always want to win. And when you're not winning, it's not fun. But I think we always had, you know, we were, you know, I think Dave and Josh and I think the organization was always confident in its, you know, long-term plans.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, right.
It's interesting to me because I've always wondered how different sports owners approach the actual ownership of the team. I'm sure there are varying opinions out there, but for you personally, like how much time do you spend worrying about the product on the court as opposed to, you know, making money on everything else? Because obviously you bought the team to turn a profit on it, right?
Yeah, I think most owners in sports are much more focused on winning than they are on making money from the business. And the best owners focus on both. And you take, like, look, a dear friend of mine who you guys have a lot of respect for is, you know, the Kraft family. And nobody knows how to win and run a good business better than the Krafts. And, you know, that's probably the model in sports. If you say, who do you want to model yourself off of? You want to look and say, hey, the Patriots, these guys, you know, they've been to the Super Bowl 10 times the past 25 years. They've won 6 Super Bowls, and they have a really successful business. Mm-hmm. That's who you want to model yourself off of. But I think a lot of people, to be honest, I think that they think winning first. And if you win, then profits follow. I think that's right. Generally the right mentality in sports overall.
Yeah. The process is always interesting to me because it's obviously not complete. I don't think it becomes complete until the Sixers win a title. Then you can say, well, that all worked. But it's funny to watch other teams, like, it's not new that if you lose you get a high pick and then you can kind of rebuild, but the Sixers were sort of the first team to do it in a very like open way, like, hey, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to stink and eventually it's going to be better. Just trust it and trust that it's going to suck for a while, because most teams, I think most owners get like halfway in. They're like, oh, we want to rebuild. But then they start sucking for a little bit. And like, no, wait. We don't want to do this. Yeah. This sucks.
Look, it's funny. From my perspective, again, look, at the end of the day, it's Josh Harris and Dave Blitzer who are the two majority partners who have kind of run the team. But I'll tell you, from my perspective, I don't even think about the process. I just think about, like, look, we want to win long term. We were stuck in the middle. We had, you know, Josh and David said, what are we going to do to make sure we're going to win long term? And I think everyone was aligned toward that. And I think it's, you know, I think we're in a better position today.
Yeah.
Than we were a few years ago. And, you know, as you said, you haven't accomplished shit until you actually win.
Right.
Like, you know what? You got to win trophies. That's what the city of Philadelphia wants. That's what any sports owner wants. That's what any sports fans want. That's why FedEx business is built.
Right.
You know, winning championships is what sells merchandise.
How does it feel, though, knowing, I saw that Sports Illustrated, I actually saw it on your Instagram, the Sports Illustrated cover, the Sixers are all in. Like, is there nerves now? Like, hey, this is it. You guys have young talent that will be good for a while, but when you kind of make a few trades in season and say, this is going to be our big push. I love when teams do it, but it's got to be nerve-wracking.
Yeah, look, I think Elton's done it. Look, I got to tell you something. Elton, I think, is doing an amazing job, and I think Josh, you know, made a great selection picking Elton. But you know, from my perspective, anytime the stakes are higher, then the pressure is higher. But you know what? I think I think the city of Philadelphia is really behind the Sixers. I'll be honest with you. When the team was acquired by our group in 2011, we were the fourth team in the market. It was 100%. It was Eagles,
yeah.
Phillies, Flyers, Sixers.
Right.
Today, without question, it's Eagles, Sixers.
Right.
And so the fandom of the Sixers is incredible. We've gone from the fourth team to the second team in the market from just total fandom. And you know, there's huge momentum for the Sixers.
And it's probably almost impossible for any team to be the number one team in the market if there's an NFL team in that city.
I think it maybe the Golden State Warriors.
Oakland.
Yeah,
not
that's
great.
Weird.
They're
in San
leaving.
Francisco, like, that's a weird. Yeah, that's probably right. But
I just don't want you.
I mean, no, LA,
LA,
obviously.
I don't want to let you get away with anything.
No,
I mean,
LA is right.
We got to.
But I'm saying it's very hard to compete with the NFL. The NFL remains king, and we you know, thump our chest about that.
I'm going to grill you here for a second. First of all,
grill away.
Do you prefer the term billionaire or person of wealth?
Neither.
Oh, person of means.
Person of means.
Yeah, I don't.
Howard Schultz was saying billionaire. We don't use the B word anymore. It's insulting.
It's honest. I don't get insulted by anything. I would like you to try to insult me.
Because you're a person of means.
Okay.
Yeah.
First grill question. Do you think that billionaires should pay for their own fucking stadiums?
Great question.
Thank you.
By the way, great question.
I invented that one.
Great question.
Yeah. I think every situation is different. And I think there's sometimes it's warranted, and I think there's sometimes that you really need the community's help. And I think it really is a case-by-case situation. That's not me trying to cop out and not give you a real answer. Mm-hmm. It's not – there's one answer. It's not one size
fits all.
It's
not black and white. Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if that's socially correct anymore.
No, it's not – Yeah, I guess. What would you say instead?
There's a lot of gray areas.
Change all of our language.
You can't say that in Pittsburgh.
Well, and also 50 Shades of Gray is like that's a little problematic too. All right, we're down a rabbit hole here. All right, so we were talking beforehand. The end goal.
That was the grill.
I have a second question. My bad.
I forgot we were on the grill.
We're in the grill.
Yeah, I forgot we're on the grill.
Fire it up. So I know that you, obviously, like, social justice and criminal justice reform is a big thing that you're interested in. But I also know that, like, a lot of politicians that might support you in that are also the same politicians that look at persons of means and say, okay, it's time to implement a higher marginal tax rate against you. How do you like balance that? Because I'm sure you wouldn't want somebody to become president who's looking at your wallet like it's a snack, but at the same time, you might support some other things that they're doing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and people don't believe this about me. I have no interest in politics. I literally don't. And people, as they all say. My friends laugh at me all the time. They're like, they can't believe how little that I know. I didn't even know who the governor of Pennsylvania was until I met him when we bought Majestic, the baseball uniform company. We were announcing the acquisition with the commissioner, Rob Manfred, who came down to the announcement, and the governor came because it was based in we had a big manufacturing plant in Pennsylvania. I met Tom Wolf for the first time there. He's become a huge ally of what we're doing in criminal justice reform, and he sees the huge issues that my eyes were open to, his eyes were open to, but I didn't even know who he was before I met him for the first time when we bought Majestic. I couldn't name the governors in, you know, probably 47
of the
50 states.
I don't think most people can.
Maybe, I might even be 48.
Lincoln Chafee.
Yeah. But Michael Rubin, 2028?
0.0 chance.
Every rich guy always, like, they always say that.
0.0,
then you're
0,
like, ooh,
0,
I'd like
0
this taste
chance.
Of...
I have no
power. Money's cool. Power's awesome.
I got to tell you something. There's no job I would like less than being the president of the United States.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, brutal job.
Brutal job.
Yes. But I got to tell you something. For me, what I like, I love building our businesses. I love, like, I had no interest. By the way, there was never a cause I had any interest in. If what happened to Meek didn't happen to him, and it was somebody I didn't know or I saw it on the news, I would have never gotten involved. He was such a good friend of mine, and I saw it firsthand. It was so offensive how screwed he was getting that I got sucked into his situation. And then when I got sucked into his situation, then I saw how bad the whole system was, and I'm like, wow, we got to fix this thing.
Right.
But it wasn't like I wasn't some good human being looking to make the world a better place. I just kind of – I fell into it because it was – it smacked me in the face.
Yeah. Right. You saw an issue that needed fixing, and you said, hey, I can help fix this. And can you maybe explain to some of the people that aren't as aware as we are of, like, the ways that you've helped Meek, the ways that you've, like, impacted the community in Philadelphia, what you've been up to?
Yeah, sure. So Meek, you know, it had been, you know, we met, I think, 5 years ago to the NBA All-Star game, and we were actually joking about this weekend how that, you know, game's kind of, you know, changed each of our lives a bit. But, we met actually when the Sixers were not performing as well as we are today. And, Meek was a giant Sixers fan. He'd come to a lot of games. And the first thing that happened, which was really odd to me, was maybe, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, we were, you know, maybe been to his 10th, 15th game. And, you know, I said, hey, I'm going to the Borgata tonight. I said, do you want to come? He said, I'd love to, but I'm not allowed. I'm like, do you need permission from your mom? Like, I don't get
right,
it.
Right.
What do you mean you're not allowed? He's like, I'm on probation. I'm like, wait, how's probation work?
Right.
You can't go across the bridge to go to the Borgata. He's like, Michael, I'll get arrested if I go if I go with you to the Borgata. Like, I'd love to go, but I can't go. And that was like the first time I'm like, here's this guy who, like, I've known now for like a year or two. He's a good guy. Wait a minute, he can't cross the bridge without getting arrested? And, you know, long story short, because we could talk about this for hours, he'd become one of my really close guy friends. You know, like, you know, we talked probably the year before everything went down with him. We probably talked on the phone 300 of the 365 days. You know, he was around all the time, came to our games, he'd come on trips with me, he was in my house a lot. And, you know, the summer 2017, I was making fun of him a lot. I'm like, yo, bro, do you need a job? Like, why are you always around? Like, get a job. Like, what's up? And he'd be like, Michael, like, I know you're some, you know, this is his words, not mine, some successful guy from, you know, the suburbs, but like, I'm not allowed to leave or I'm going to get arrested. And so it started to really, like, now he's like one of my really good friends. I'm like, I'm annoyed that he's not allowed to work. He's got, you know, a kid who depends on him. He's got his mom and his family and so many friends who work for him. And at the same time, 2017, he had two really minor incidents. He had popped a wheelie in New York City mm-hmm. on a motorcycle, and he was so bold that he put it on social media.
Just a Philadelphia hello.
Yeah, right. For sure. Mm-hmm. And he was so bold that he put it on social media. And the next day, 21 police officers showed up to a celebrity basketball game he was at. He thought they came to give him a police escort. Literally. He thought the police were coming to give him a police escort, and they arrested him for popping the wheelie and putting it on social media the day before. And then he was in a there was a fight in an airport where one of his friends got jumped. Guy this guy Chino is a great kid. He's like 130, 140 pound kid. And he got jumped by a couple guys who worked in the airport. Meek went to help him. And of course, they arrested Meek because he was the black rapper. They then looked at the surveillance, saw that he didn't start the fight. And in both cases, they were, you know, all the charges were dropped.
Right.
He had a traffic ticket in one, nothing in the other. So the judge was able to bring him in on a probation violation for that. And so I wrote a letter to the judge talking about my relationship with him, the background I had, you know, my involvement with the Sixers, you know, that I'd built, you know, GSI Commerce, you know, Pennsylvania-backed company, just bought Majestic, big operation in Easton, Pennsylvania. And long story short, I thought she'd see the letter. She'd give it a little bit of value. No response. Meek called me the Monday morning of his hearing and said, hey, like, if you have time, could you come to this thing? And I'm like, you know what? I'll come. And it was, you know, he lives really close to me. So I went to the hearing, and that day, November 6, 2017, it changed my life in the most radical ways. I went to this court hearing. First, the judge showed up 45 minutes later. Then it was supposed to start at 1. She showed up like 1:45. She was on her time. She didn't care about anybody else. Probation officer walks in and says, what a great guy he is. He's done everything they've asked. He's a model probationer. Recommends no sentence. DA gets up, district attorney says, we recommend no sentence. So I look at the lawyers and I'm like, why are we here? They're like, oh, listen, the good news is they've never, in the history of law, they've never had someone where the DA and probation officer recommend no sentence, yeah. And they've sentenced them. So we're like now 3 hours into this thing, which is supposed to be like a 15-minute probation hearing. And she says, I'm sentencing you. They say, Michael, can you get up and speak? I talk for like 10, 15 minutes about my relationship with him, how well I know him, what a good guy he is, how he's bringing communities together. No different than when you met him, the way like
right,
you see.
He's
a uniter of people.
Right.
And she just doesn't even look me in the eyes. And then she says, 2 to 4 years in state prison. That's
crazy.
Like, that was like literally I got hit in the head with a baseball bat. And the whole thing was like surreal. Like I'm like, you know, here he is. He's taking his watch off. They're putting him in handcuffs. They're taking him away from me. And I looked at him. I'm like, I won't stop till I get you out of jail until she's off the bench.
It's like a Hollywood movie.
It kind of, honestly, is.
Yeah.
It really is. And then, fortunately, there was this woman I never met before named Desiree Perez, Jay-Z's, you know, right hand. She's sitting next to me. She's like, yeah, I'm Des. We talked on the phone once. I won't stop till he gets out. And basically, you know, Jay and I joined forces and said, we're not stopping till this guy's out of prison. And I literally, like, I couldn't think about anything other than that. Because, like, when you see someone so close to you get so screwed over, it wasn't like, by the way, if he does something wrong, I'd be like, bro, I love you. You're still my boy, but see you later.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy who popped a wheelie and broke up a fight and just got sent to jail for 2 to 4 years. And so originally I thought it was just this crazy judge. And by the way, this woman is batshit crazy.
Right.
Okay. She's crazy as you could get. That said, what I realized is 2 months later, 3 months later, we're actually at the Super Bowl of 2000 and Super Bowl, you know, a year ago, Eagles were playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And literally one of the two original arresting officers from what he was charged for when he was 19, he's now 31 years old, when he was 19, he was arrested for pointing a gun at multiple police officers. And anytime you tell someone who actually is intelligent, I wasn't, that, hey, some, you know, black kid pointing a gun at multiple cops, they'd say, yeah, that never happened because you'd be dead because cops are, you know, trained. Right. Their job is to, you know, they can't let someone point a gun at them or they won't be here. So one of the two arresting cop officers came forward and said, no, the whole thing's a lie. He never pointed the gun. And then he signed an affidavit. Then a week later, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Philadelphia paper, exposed a list that said that there were so many, that there was a list of cops that were too dirty to testify. And his original arresting officer, the other cop, was top of the list of officers too dirty to testify. So I call him like, yo, bro, great news. You're going to be out of prison in the next couple of days. That was Super Bowl, Eagles Super Bowl 2018. And literally, I had no clue what I was talking about. Because now we had an affidavit saying he didn't commit the crime.
It's not like the next day, boom, you're out.
The wheels of justice turn slowly.
Yes.
Occasionally.
Slowly. There's no wheels of justice. They're like, keep them locked up forever. So DA now comes in and tries to throw the case out. The judge says, no, I'm not throwing the case out. It takes another 3 months to get him out of prison. And that's when Meek and I both talked every day and said, look, as soon as you get out of this situation, we need to start a movement to fix the criminal justice system, which is fundamentally broken, because I thought it was originally about him, but he was an incredible example of a completely broken system.
Right? So what are you guys doing now? You guys just announced something huge.
Yeah, we did. So basically myself, Meek, Jay-Z, Robert Kraft, Dan Loeb, Mike Novogratz, Clara Tsai, and Robert Smith put about $50 million into a new alliance / foundation that we just started, which is 100% focused on. So there's 6.7 million people in the criminal justice system today. 2.2 million are in prison and jail. 4.5 million are on probation and parole. The thing that's kind of stalked Meek's entire life is the probation and parole system being fundamentally broken. So Meek has been on probation his entire adult life.
Mm-hmm.
So if Meek goes out and smokes a joint, he's going to jail.
That sucks.
It's tough.
Right? If Meek doesn't show up to see his probation officer, he's going to jail. Okay? So what I had no idea, by the way, America has 5 times the rate of incarceration of the whole rest of the world. So what we're focused on doing is 100% on the probation and parole problem. Okay, and so this 4.5 million people, which is 2/3 of the criminal justice system, we're focused on how do we change the laws and the policies that make no sense, so that the people that are on probation and parole in the future are the people that should be, and we want to get at least 1 million people out of the system over the next 5 years. So we've hired Van Jones to run this. He's incredible. He's dedicated his entire adult life to criminal justice reform, and I'd say Meek has taken this on as a life mission. I've taken this on as a life mission. We have 8 incredible partners, and we want to get 1 million people out of the system, and we're not playing around.
That is great. So you said that you guys donated, what, $50 million to this? I'm currently in the system right now. I was arrested at the Super Bowl.
Nope.
Just wondering how much money you have on you right now. Maybe I could just take out the middleman.
He wasn't.
No, I got arrested at media night.
He was held.
I was detained.
Don't worry.
/ arrested.
Yeah.
I mean,
he never was handcuffed.
Listen, we got you.
Okay. He's actually making fun of the criminal justice system by
I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm saying I've dealt with my fair share of issues. So do you and Meek have an understanding where, like, okay, you helped him out. You know, you were a big voice for helping to get him out of prison. Do you get to, like, listen to his new songs before they come out now?
You know, it's funny. Before any of this happened, Meek would always, like, when he was doing a new song, he'd walk me through it just to try to explain to me, because he knows I know so little about music, like nothing really. And he'd, like, he had to break it down to me. So that's something, you know, he's probably done in, you know, 5 or 10 different situations. Like, we'd just be together. He'd be like, oh, listen to this new song. And I'd be like, and he'd be explaining it to me, like, verse by line by line, because I'm, like, literally no understanding of music. So I have learned about many of his songs from him walking me through the song and explaining it to me, because I don't have the common sense to understand it on my own.
Sometimes that's better, though, if you get somebody that isn't, like, a music snob and you play them a song. If they like it, then you know it's a banger, right?
Yeah, I would say if I liked it, it's probably a bad sign. I'm not a music guy. Before Meek and I became really good friends, there's only 2 rappers that I actually liked, which was Eminem and Jay-Z. I probably listened to their music 100% of the time. Now I've added a few more to the list, but I'm not like a, you know, I really don't listen to music unless I'm, you know, out, you know, on a boys' night or doing something fun or something like that.
Right, right.
You know, every once when I run outside, I listen to music. Other than that, I'm not a big music guy.
What about your other best friend, Robert Kraft? How many shirts with, like, white collars, blue shirts with white collars does he own?
Well, you know, the market share of those shirts are actually decreasing within his closet, because I've converted him to hoodies.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
So the hoodie conversion, I think I've had I think he would give me 100% credit on the hoodie conversion.
Yes.
Okay. I think we've got hoodies are now like a 32% market share of his wardrobe.
That's one of the coolest things you can do as a rich guy is, one, be able to wear hoodies and make it look good, but two, be able to wear suits with sneakers and have everyone be like, that's awesome. Whereas if we do it, we're schlubs.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, look, I actually think Robert's done a great thing for the sneaker community, because I actually hate, like, I only wear sneakers. I've only worn sneakers for, like, I would wear sneakers to everything, and I've done it forever, because I don't like shoes. They're not comfortable. Like, I want my feet to be comfortable. Like, I'm getting old. I deserve to be comfortable.
Right.
And, you know, Robert's worn sneakers. He's worn sneakers for as long as I've known him, and he's made it cool, and I think so many other people are doing it now. I think he actually kind of kicked that off. So I think I give him 100% credit for the sneaker revolution, for guys wearing those with suits. I'll take credit for converting him to hoodies.
Okay.
They are very cool, but you have to admit that the white collar with the blue shirt, that's like a flex look. That's a rich guy look.
I'm going to leave that with him.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you might have PTSD when it comes to different types of collars, given what you went through with Colangelo. How surreal was that whole situation?
You know what? In sports, you see crazy stuff all the time. I'll say one thing. I say this to people all the time. I've said this for anyone who knows me. I've said this for decades. Nothing fazes me. If you came in right now and said there was a nuclear bomb coming, I'd be like, okay, how are we dealing with it? What are we doing? I've seen so many things.
Well, you're going to the biodome and surviving, and we're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Cool.
I think we're in a great room right now.
We'd
be great here. But like, my mentality is like, I've been through so many near death experiences in business. I've had so many failures. I've had so many things go wrong in my life. Stuff doesn't faze me. It's just like, when you have an issue, how do you deal with it? And you move forward, and that's it.
There wasn't the immediate shock of the story hitting.
Well, I'll tell you how I found out. How I found out is actually a great story. I think it's okay for me to say it now. So it's actually, I'm going to tell you the story here first. So I was with Meek and Colin Kaepernick. We were just having a discussion about just different thoughts that we had. And Joel kept FaceTiming me. And literally, I'm like, the third time, I'm like, Joel, I'm in a meeting. What's up? And he told me. That's how I found out.
That's
about
hilarious.
It. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I'm sure he used, he was probably just as shocked as everyone else.
Well, Joel, he was my news source.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because that was a whole wild story. I want to wrap up with you owning an NFL team.
Yeah.
So are you going to do it someday?
I'd love to. Look, I'm a huge NBA fan. I'm a huge NFL fan. Those are the two sports that I kind of live and breathe for. I think it's a good opportunity. Obviously, everyone knows I went, all in on trying to get the Panthers done. Didn't get it done. I'm not someone who like looks back and like, oh my God, I didn't get it done. It's like, okay, I'm a young guy. I think, it's a great opportunity. It's something I'd like to do in the future.
So can we help? Can we be part of your board of advisors when you do it? I think we know football better than anyone else.
Yes.
The ins and outs of social media, how football works, what people want to see. We could be part of your team.
Yeah, I'm just going to say nothing for that.
Okay.
Listen, straight
interesting.
Up.
Interesting. That's a negotiation tactic you just pulled on us. I've been reading Art of the Deal.
How's it working for you?
Well, we'll find out by the end of this podcast. Okay.
That was good. Don't answer his question.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have had control.
He has no idea how it's going.
Yeah.
He has no idea that I haven't read a word.
I did read Think Big and Kick Ass by Donald Trump.
Boom.
That told he could have fucked Madonna, but he didn't. So that's my big takeaway from it. No, but straight up, I'm going to own the Washington Redskins one day. So if you'd like to be part of my ownership group.
Are you doing the Gary Vee?
What?
He does that with the Jets where he just says that, even though he's so far away from it.
I've been saying that for the last 6 months. I'm going to own the Washington Redskins one day, and you're welcome to be part of my ownership.
The only problem is you need
group.
An owner that wants to sell the team, and I think,
he can be motivated. I'm sure there's some. Do you guys do blackmail as billionaires against other billionaires? I'm sure we can blackmail.
Blackmail is generally not a good strategy.
Okay.
Generally,
all right. We'll write that down.
Yeah.
What generally happens with blackmail is you end up where Meek was in prison.
You're right.
And that's not a place I'd like to be. Especially like guys like me would not do well in prison.
Okay. We won't use the blackmail
word, but
he's definitely done some stuff that he would not be proud of to have exposed to the light of day in the future. But it's not blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it so that he'll listen to it. He'll understand that I know that he knows that I know. Again. Not blackmail. So it's interesting to talk about owning an NFL team because it's almost like you have to find yourself the right circumstance, right? So, like, who knows when the next team's going to come up for sale. And at that time, it might be a team that's already, significantly valued at, $2, $3 billion, something like that. And at that point, wouldn't you be like, I'm not so sure that's a good investment at this time?
So, first off, I think that both – I think the NFL is a good business, and I think people know that. I think as far as the profitability of the teams, no one can look at the NFL team and say these aren't good businesses.
It's king
because they are. And by the way, the NBA is becoming a great business as well. So if you look at a sports team, you say, look, I love the sport. I think I can have a positive impact on the team, and it can actually be a good business. That's a pretty exciting opportunity. Then what you got to figure out is. Generally there's, teams available, maybe a team, every year or every other year. So it's got to be the right situation for you. For me, I'm fortunate to be a part owner of the Sixers because I grew up in Philadelphia. I work between Philadelphia and New York. My daughter's in Philadelphia, and that's a perfect situation. To me, if you said, hey, look, as an example, the Seattle Seahawks, which are, people say are going to be sold over the next couple of years, that's not a great situation for me. It's in the Pacific Northwest. I live in the Northeast. I have a daughter who's, here for, she's not, she's turning 13 next week. So that wouldn't be a good situation for me. So I think you need to figure out what's the right situation that works for you?
That was a smart negotiation. Yeah. Yeah. I know what he did right there.
Yeah. We don't want the Seahawks. We're not interested at all.
Yeah. It's too far away. Don't Planes worry. Don't exist.
You know what? We'll walk right away from there. This deal, Seahawks. Yeah. That was smart.
But you really do need to find the right situation for yourself. But I think you need to fit into a market. You need to have the situation be right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you own a team and then you have to face off against your best friend, Robert Kraft?
Well, it's the same thing happens when I'm, you know, look, by the way, the guy who owns the Celtics today, which is our complete arch rival, you know, we hate each other when we play each other. But other than that, you know, I love Wick. And,
right.
You know, for Robert Kraft, you know, is probably my closest guy friend. And we talk 5 times a day every day. And, you know, I'm sure if we each own teams when we're playing each other, we would love each other except when we played. And then we'd each want to kill each other for that 3+ hours.
You talk 5 times a day to Robert Kraft?
Probably.
Wow.
That's kind of weird.
How many times to Tom Brady?
Zero.
How many dinners have you had with Tom Brady?
Yeah, only a few times when he's with Robert.
Only. Dude. What about Bill Belichick?
Bill's quiet.
Yes. Yep. He's really funny.
He is very
quiet. We've been told.
Yes, he's very quiet.
What do you talk about with Robert Kraft 5 times a day? It's like, hey, what did you do? Oh, I just got done with that meeting that I told you I was going to. Like, how does that go?
You're
talking texting, right? Like,
calls. We talk. Robert.
Okay, that's crazy.
I have friends, by the way. I have a couple friends, like, different things, whether it's things he's running past me, things I'm running past him. He's like he's my little brother. He's not even my big brother. He's a kid inside. And he's fun. And he's I'm driving home. He calls me. He's driving to his team meetings in the morning. He calls me.
I need to call you more.
Listen, I mean,
I text with you.
I feel love from you.
But that's a weird move to call. Yeah. Just do the text.
Well, but it depends what the relationship. I think you. First of all, I'm a massive texter.
Yeah.
I don't talk to a lot of people on the phone. It's a small group of people I do talk to on the phone. But you know, I talk to Joao a lot on the phone. I talk to Mika a lot on the phone. I have a couple other friends I talk to a lot on the phone. It's just depends who it is. There's always stuff going on, by the way. Robert and I do a lot of stuff together. By the way, he's a big guy in logistics, so like he's always changing his mind of what he wants to do.
Right.
And so we're always talking about what plans we're doing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How long would have to elapse for you to be concerned about Robert Kraft? Like if he didn't call you for 12 hours, would you be like, is he okay?
Well, the real story, and he would tell you the same thing, it goes the other way around. It would be if he doesn't hear from me past like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, he'd be worried about my well-being.
Right. Yeah. Like, where
it's
is
been
it?
A few times in the last year. I might have had late nights out, and I've woke up a little later. I've been a little bit hurting, and he'd be like, just want to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, my last question. Everyone gave me shit for this because I asked how much money was in your pocket when you were on A-Rod Corp, and I didn't take the money. So give me all the money that you have right now.
Done.
Fuck, you have none.
It's always the same amount.
No, I'm not taking it. God damn it. No, I'm not taking it. Damn it.
It's,
I thought you were going to have none and I was going to get off the hook.
Hold on. I felt like you got cheated.
No. I'll take a couple hundred.
Fine.
All right.
Like,
you got any other
money.
Questions?
I was going to ask the same thing. That sucks. Now he's got zero, so I don't have to take it.
Someday I'm going to take the money out of your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Someday.
I have a question.
Someday we'll do that.
What do you tip?
What
do you tip at a restaurant?
So I have a very... I have my own philosophy. It's what I think is right. And I've done this forever. It sounds, and I do it for a specific reason. So I always, first of all, anytime I tip, I generally, 90, and I tip lots of people for lots of things, always give $100 bills out. And there's a reason for it. I think if you do nice things, it comes back around you. So I give out a ton of $100. Like, I go, someone takes my bags upstairs, I give $100.
That's fucking awesome.
And I'll tell you why. Because I really believe if you do nice things, it comes back around. So at a restaurant, if it's a little bill, I give $100. If it's a big bill, I'm a very good tipper. But not because I'm trying to waste money. It's because I'm trying to help people that I think, if you do nice things, it comes back around. I'm a big believer in aura. And I believe, like, hey, if we have good aura and we help lots of people, we're going to get back good stuff.
I like
good
that.
Things will happen to
That's
me.
The coolest part about being rich, being able to make it rain on people.
Also, just not caring about percentages. You probably save a lot of time not having to calculate, like, 25% of a bill. You can just be like, it feels like 100 to me. Here you go.
But I will tell you, on Saturday night, we were after a long night out at the NBA All-Star game, actually giving out all the money in my pocket. I always keep this. I always start with the same amount of money when I go out for a night. And I ran out of money. So actually, we were all in the lobby, a bunch of people hanging out, just in the lobby of the Ritz. And I ran out of money. I actually started giving Meek's money out as well. I was very aggressive,
too. I needed
to
be there for that. Yeah. That would have been nice. All right,
thank
Michael
you.
Rubin.
That was great.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Okay, let's get to some segments. We have a lot of good segments. A lot of good segments here at PFT.
Big sports day.
This is a way to send the people off on a great Friday show. Let's start with our favorite season, because it's always in season. It's ass-eating season. Ooh, that was ass-licking.
That was
fava beans.
Fava beans. Candy.
I hate his liver. Barry Switzer. Mm-hmm. Has gotten in on ass eating season, and if I had to tell you whose ass he ate, at what point would you say Ed Werder?
I think it'd be number two.
Number two?
Yeah.
Okay, so he tweeted this.
Get it?
They were talking about Tim Kalashaw and Ed Werder were reminiscing about Barry Switzer getting the Cowboys job after Jimmy Johnson got fired or left. Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson couldn't coexist.
Well, so Barry Switzer's a big, I don't talk about another man's job kind of guy.
Right.
Old school. So what happened was Jerry calls Barry while Jimmy is still the coach, right?
Yeah.
And Jerry's like, how would you feel about coming down here and coaching Dallas Football Cowboys? And Barry says, I didn't know the job was open. Hung up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Jerry fired him the next day, called him back. He's like, hey, now you want to talk?
Yeah, let's go. And so they were reminiscing on Twitter, and Ed Werder and Tim Kalashaw basically said they didn't believe it when they heard it. And Barry Switzer responded, if Jerry had not made that call, never got to know your ass or Ed. Always thought you guys were pretty fair. Only eat Ed's ass out one time. Let him tell you about it. Hope all is well with you too. So,
yeah.
The best part is he's like, let Ed tell the world about the time I ate his ass out.
Right. Well, it's hard to believe that Ed would let Barry eat his ass out, because Ed is not a fan of toilet mouths, as we've heard in the past.
Yes, that's true. No swearing on his feed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I love this tweet is Barry Switzer has no idea what he did with this tweet, but I 100% guarantee you that Barry Switzer, back in his heyday, was a big ass eating guy.
Oh, yes. Without
he was without a big ass. Those fur coats.
Yeah.
He was winning all those rings at Oklahoma, getting loose with it, eating ass. That's what he did. So when he got to Dallas, he's like, whose ass I got to eat? Oh, Ed Werder. There you go.
Yeah, everybody thought that Barry was always super, super hungover, right? Because
yes.
He had the red, watery eyes.
Turns
out,
he was. Yeah.
He was, but also he had pink eye.
Yes.
The entire time. He looked like Bob Costas after
Costas.
A long night in Sochi.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised at all that Barry would tweet something like this out. He's probably liquored up when he did it anyways, and that's just Barry.
Yeah.
And when you're a football coach, you throw the word ass into any sentence and just kind of let the ass fall where it may in the middle of your word salad. And
yes.
it typically makes sense. In this case, it kind of caught up with him.
It just goes, you just throw an ass. It basically just becomes a crutch for the English language. You're like, oh, every third word, ass.
I also like how he tweets the way that he talks.
Oh, yeah.
So he just leaves words out. So he's like, I'll let him tell you about that one. He's just like, let him tell you about that.
Yeah, let me tell you about that, you two. All right, next up we have Shiano Man. So Greg Schiano was hired as defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, then out of nowhere.
Well, he wasn't really hired. They never made the announcement.
Okay.
So that's a classic Patriots move to just kind of let the press talk about it. He was in the building and he was working, but they never put out an official release saying that Greg Schiano is our defensive coordinator.
Interesting.
But yes, he's gone. He left abruptly today after spending like a quarter of the offseason there.
Yep.
So Shiano turned around that defense in record time.
So what happens to Shiano men like us?
I think we have to remain vigilant. We have to find him a new job.
Can I throw something out there? I don't know what's happening with Greg Shiano. We have no details. It was a little murky. Hopefully no one's sick or anything like that. But Brett Bielema, defensive coordinator?
That's what it looks like, actually.
Burt is going to be back.
Yeah.
Listen, Brett Bielema on a sideline is just a joy.
He's just a giant Matt Patricia.
Yes.
He's just, if you stretched him out and then just thickened him up again.
Bill Belichick trying to yell it like around and through Brett Bielema will be so fantastic.
Oh, sure. There's no getting through Bielema.
No.
It's just not happening. He's a wall of sound. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that the Patriots might not even look to get a defense coordinator. They might just get a director of photography. That's your main job, right?
Liam,
right,
anything Bubba? About that? Hank would
no
get
comment.
Mad. This is where
just
Hank
get,
would get mad.
No comment.
Yeah. But get just mad for Hank.
Be Hank.
Be Hank real quick.
Hank, they're probably just going to hire a director of photography to take illegal videos.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Get Scorsese on there.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Like the final scene, Departed.
Yes.
It'll just be Eric Mangini scurrying across the balcony instead of the rat.
Yeah.
I would accept that job.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, Bubba has thrown his
Bubba
name.
Bubba has Hank.
Also, Shiano to the AAF. Why not?
Why not?
If you're going to adopt the M&M rule of letting players
to play
each
and
other.
Coach. Yeah. They need players.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to pay them.
I think Shiano could probably play.
By the way, rest in peace, AAF. Moment of silence. That one Saturday in February, that was awesome. Ready? Here we go. Moment of silence.
Okay, that was a moment of silence for the AAF.
There we go, the AAF. We're XFL guys now. We've moved on. On to the next. All right, next up we have Thoughts and Prayers, Deion Sanders. So I think he has a memoir out. In the memoir, he basically said that he had it all, but he was hollow inside. He had nothing. Mm-hmm. He was depressed. And he was talking, rock bottom for me was just being in the midst of a game when everybody's screaming when they don't know your middle name. That's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
Rock bottom for me was having hundreds of seats not cover the, wait, what is it? Was having hundreds of seats not cover the pain? Okay. Mm-hmm. Rock bottom for me was hundreds of pairs of shoes but not being able to take a step in the right direction. That's poetic.
This is Mike Tomlin stuff right here.
Yeah, or Alanis Morissette / Mike Tomlin. Uh-huh. Rock bottom for me was having 10 cars that weren't going nowhere. Rock bottom for me was 14,000 square foot house but never feeling at home.
Yep.
That's a good one.
This is ironic.
Yes, this is, right. Rock bottom for me was laying between two or three women at a time, but you get up unsatisfied.
Thoughts and prayers to Deion for all the threesomes. Honestly, I kind of agree with that. Like, if you're having one threesome, that's probably cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having multiple threesomes all the time, that's a lot of work.
Right.
I feel like that's on you.
Yeah, that's exhausting.
Yeah, it is. Good point, Bubba. Like, just stop having threesomes.
But this all
just
basically
tell one of them to leave.
Yeah, this all basically comes back to he found God, so it's all good.
Yeah. Did he end each sentence in there with hashtag blessed? Or
hashtag
truth?
It was like, rock bottom for me was bleeding and laying next to the person that says they love you, but she doesn't even know you are in pain. That was rock bottom for me.
Hashtag truth. That's what he always
hashtag
ended.
Booming.
Well,
hashtag
so,
happy to be a Raider.
So you've got one girl riding you. You've got another girl sitting on your face.
Mm-hmm.
He's the ultimate two-sport guy.
Yep.
He should be able to pull both those things off.
I agree. And his poor wife, like, having this come out and be like, yeah, I had two or three women at a time, and I left unsatisfied. Now you got to step up to the plate after that?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
What'd that booty do, though?
That's a lot.
Honestly, like, this is the biggest flex of all time.
Yes.
I want to get to a point where I write a memoir that's just me apologizing for all the awesome shit that I've done.
Like, I was so sad with how much sex I was having and how awesome my life was.
Yeah, kids, don't be like me. I had so many fast cars. My dick was ginormous.
Yeah, everyone was screaming my name in 100,000, football stadium, but none of them knew my social security number. It was so sad.
Yeah.
God damn, Deion. The tweet was rock bottom for Deion Sanders was when he was having a threesome. It's like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's so relatable, Deion. Neon Deion, still doing it. All right, next up I have a quick We Read a Headline for you guys.
Let's do this one?
Philly's obsessed hacker with white supremacist past nearly died from cobra's bite in his snake and spider horror house.
That's a good headline.
And we read a headline.
That was the headline.
What the fuck?
Take from that what you will. Great sports
This
town.
Guy had it coming to him, by the way.
Yeah,
not because he was a Nazi and a Philly-obsessed hacker, but because he lived in a snake and spider horror house.
I was going to say, like, this is that's the most Philadelphia thing of all time. Only in Philly.
That's so
Can
ridiculous.
You combine all those things into a headline? That's one where after the first, like, six words, you could have stopped.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, that's a hell of a headline.
Yeah, I'll read it again real quick for the people. Philly's obsessed hacker with white supremacist past. Yeah, we could have stopped right there.
Yeah.
Nearly died from cobra bite in his snake and spider whorehouse. Step up to the plate, you spiders.
Wait, did you say spider whorehouse?
Horror house.
Oh, horror house. Okay.
Yeah, cobra, his snake and spider. I think he just had a house full of snake and spiders and then was like, damn, why'd I get bit?
Well, he probably had the spiders first and then brought the snakes in to eat all the spiders.
Can I ask a question? Which comes first? The Philly-obsessed hacker or the white supremacist past?
I think the hacking comes first.
Okay.
I think
you get too deep.
You get too deep into hacking. Mm-hmm. You find some, like, very alt-right message boards.
Yep.
And then they're all Philly fans there anyways.
And actually, it's kind of a Philly, like, a
that
Philly.
That was a joke, Philly.
Yeah. It's a Philly, like, the Phillies got kind of a ricochet shot here.
Yes.
Because he just loves, you know, the great pastime.
Yeah. So this is, that actually dovetails with my theory that I think every newspaper, when they report a crime, should say what sports team whoever did that crime was a fan of.
Yes.
So, like, you know, like L.A. Rams fan accused of driving his car too fast into a pole and was also the star of Gone in 60 Seconds.
Right.
Or Fast and Furious.
Ooh. Too soon.
That's what I meant.
Too soon.
Yeah.
They actually already do that in Alabama. When everyone gets arrested, they just say Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or War Eagle. They identify for you as their... Yeah.
Yes. All right. Next, second last up before we get to FAQs, we have a new segment alert.
Mew, mew.
That was great.
That was good. I thought it was good.
All right. It was okay.
That's as much effort as
Try one more time. New segment alert.
Mew, mew.
All right. That's all right. Eli Manning. It's called What Was Eli Manning Googling? So here's a quote Eli Manning had about Philadelphia fans. Philadelphia fans are getting a lot today between the Bryce Harper, the spider and snake horror house, and now this. Eli Manning said, you go there, talking about Philadelphia, and that 9-year-old kid is giving you the double finger. Not a thumbs up, not we're number one, and he said something about my mom. I had to Google what it was. It's a different culture.
So
what was Eli Manning Googling?
What did he Google?
I have a couple
what
ideas.
What does Eli Manning not understand?
Pogs.
Okay, pogs.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What are pogs again?
Milk caps.
Fat-ass white girl.
Fat-ass white girls.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
fat with a PH.
Yeah, PH. It's okay. P-A-W-G. Pogs.
Pogs.
I learned that a few weeks ago.
He was Googling what is a cover two, because I don't think he understands what it is.
Yeah. Maybe he was Googling thoughts. Maybe someone called Mrs. Manning a thought.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. How to retire.
How to escape fraud allegations with your game-worn jerseys.
Yeah, he was probably looking
Well, he
that
Googled,
up.
That was already
that was
up
in his search
in
history.
Google. Yeah, right,
yeah,
exactly.
It was the most recent search activation.
I would love to see Eli Manning's Google history.
Oh, my God. It's the most basic. He's probably Googled, how long do I hard-boil an egg 6 times in the last year?
Yeah, or like, can eating paint kill you still?
Yeah,
and you know, shit like that. Yeah. Or like, can you die in your sleep if you don't breathe out of your nose?
Yeah. What's the number for 911?
and then he has one like that it's like all time interception leaders just to make sure that he still is far enough away from Brett Favre's record.
Is it illegal to kill your older brother?
No, not Peyton, Cooper.
Yeah,
because he's the funny one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Eli's very jealous of
him. Exactly. He's very jealous of all the other Mannings having a sense of humor. Eli Manning's Google history. He definitely is a free ones guy, too. Like old school porn that's not real porn. It's just like pictures.
You pay for porn?
No. It was a site called freeones.com that was literally just pictures of porn.
You got
it. Like Playboy.
You pay what you get. You get what you pay for.
Online in like 2002.
Uh-huh.
He still does that.
Yeah.
He probably does pay for porn.
Listen, here's the thing. You get into your rhythm with your porn searches, and you know your safe sites to go to, and you have, okay, this is my warm-up site, this is my finish site. I understand that.
Yeah.
Your creature habit, Eli.
All right, last up before we get to FAQs.
He probably just Googles old misses.
Yeah.
He's a big granny guy.
He probably just Googles the Grove, the tailgates.
Yeah.
Back in the heyday. All right, so here's the viral idea. I was teasing this. I was in Washington State in Seattle on Wednesday, legalized weed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe had a little weed going.
Well,
the state.
Federally, it's still illegal.
That's true. So it also happened to be the day that we had two things go semi-viral on the internet. The first was
the people in St. Louis cutting their bagels like they were toast.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was the peepsa, the person who put peeps on their pizza.
Yes, they're just gross food.
Yes, but I think, but the more I thought about it, you have to also put like a specific place to it so everyone can then shun different regions of America.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to start tweeting just random food trends. And here's my first one. That I'm going to tweet from the Pardon My Take account right now.
Okay.
And we're going to see if it goes viral. So you're probably listening to this and you're probably like, wait, why'd they tweet that? But here's what it is, okay, PFD? And I'm going to read the tweet for you real quick. It's going to say, anyone else dunk their cereal in toilet water before they eat it, or is that just an NYC thing?
Okay. So, and then you have a video of it.
Me.
Yeah. Okay. There's a toilet. Yeah. You're right.
I'm dunking the cereal in the toilet water.
There, yeah.
And then I give it a little swirl,
Do you eat it?
Yeah. No, I'm about to eat it, but I don't.
Okay.
So I'm going to tweet it, and I'm saying at minimum 10,000 retweets by tomorrow morning.
Embrace debate. Does that qualify as soup?
Yeah,
I think
it could.
Does.
That could be a spinoff. Mm-hmm. Is toilet water cereal a soup or a sandwich?
I might blog that tomorrow.
Yes, that's perfect. Get it reviral.
Yep, there we go.
All right, so here we go. I'm hitting it. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
All right. Done.
I don't think it's going to go viral. I don't want to be a naysayer.
No, but it's probably not going to, but I think
we're planting the seed here.
We need to start doing more of these where it's like, you know, anyone else like to pick up a little dog poop and put it on their pizza?
Yeah.
Or is that just a Tampa Bay thing?
Well, so the thing
like,
is...
You know, just pick a random place.
We have to pick,
like, what the fuck?
We have to pick our regions carefully because there are some cities that are very easy to dunk on that people love piling on.
Right.
St. Louis is the perfect one.
Right.
Such weird local like culinary traditions.
Anyone like to rub their churros in their grundle before eating them, or is that just a San Antonio thing?
Yeah. Or, like, anyone like to open their beer and leave it out for 5 days, or is that just a Utah thing?
Yeah, right, exactly. So
you have a bunch of open beers in the fridge and you just take them out.
I feel like
carbonation is a sin.
I feel like we're onto something. We just keep doing just random shit that's disgusting, and we throw a random city on it, and people will get so mad on the internet.
Okay.
All right? So we're going to go viral. So if this is our last show, it's probably because the toilet cereal went super viral.
Yeah.
And then we went to our SoundCloud and peace out. We'll never hear. You'll never hear from us again.
Yep.
All right, Bubba, end it with FAQs.
If you call a player on the Lakers a Laker or a player on the Knicks a Knick, what do you call someone on the Heat or the Jazz?
Heat player.
The Heatles. Remember they were the Heatles?
The
Jizzers. The Jizzers.
Jazzed.
I was going to say something mean about the Utah, but we already did the beer thing, so.
Yeah, let's lay off Salt Lake City for a second.
The super racist fans. Okay, never mind.
The little B words.
Two likes already.
Oh, there we go. Big time internet bucks coming our way.
What time is it in outer space?
That is a great question.
There is no
first
time.
Of all, I don't think space is real because it's a vacuum, right? So it's you can't see
so
it.
Let's start
space.
There. Yeah.
Second of all, the Earth's flat and there's a dome over it.
Yep.
So you'll never escape that.
Yep.
Third of all, I think it's just always New York time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
because that's where I live.
It's just imagine. Well, just imagine.
The world revolves around me.
Side tangent here. When the tournament was announced, PFT was like, so what games are in Madison Square Garden? I was like, you're now a New Yorker.
Yeah, come on,
like,
it's a mecca.
Hey, where the fuck are our games?
It's a mecca.
Motherfucker, I'm fucking trying to move it over here.
Disrespect.
Move your car.
Actually, it matters how close you get to the sun, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, Venus is Mercury?
In retrograde.
Which one's second?
Second is Venus.
Venus... Yeah, their years are like 100 days.
Yeah, so I guess it depends on where you are in space.
That was the 100 Days of Summer. That movie was about a guy who went to Venus to try to fuck a girl.
So he only had 100 days.
Burned up into a million billion flames.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's an all-time bad breakup.
Yeah.
All right, FAQ, what was your first sports memory?
Mm-hmm. Mine, I think it's the Reds in the World Series. Either that or...
I was going to say the Twins in the World Series.
So I remember that World Series, Kirby Puckett hitting the home run.
Yeah, and the plexiglass. It was like a hockey plexiglass in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
That one, it's like a world. It's basically because back, obviously, way back then, it was like you basically just watched. When you're a little kid, you watched, like, you know, the World Series. That's about it. And the Super Bowl.
I think it was actually my dad telling me that Barry Bonds was too much of a hot dog to ever be a good player.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even back then, he wasn't a hot dog.
Well, no, he kind of was. He
was a little bit of a hot dog.
He had the earring, the big cross that dangled off.
There was definitely a moment in time where I just assumed the Cowboys kicked the shit out of the Bills every year for the Super Bowl. That was probably my first, like, this is really sports moment.
This one I want you to write down, Big Cat.
Okay.
I thought it was good. So the letters UMOP space APISDN.
Okay.
Okay, and then flip it over.
I don't understand it.
Does it say upside down?
No.
But
no, not
down.
Even close.
No, you have to read it backwards, I think.
Not even close. Dude,
wait.
That's not even close. It spells no sipa down.
Yeah, so wait, try.
Down Bubba, is right.
Bubba, try reading it backwards. Did you try this?
On my laptop.
This is
what kind
Bubba.
Of,
this
what kind
is
of laptop
bad.
Do you have over there,
this
Bubba?
This is a bad one, Bubba. Keep it in, but this is a bad one.
If you go to Australia and write that down, then you see it says upside down.
All right, we got 8 retweets.
I thought that was pretty good.
137 likes. Boom. That's pretty damn good.
All right, last one.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. A penny is 1 cent because it's 1% of a dollar.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa. And a quarter
is a quarter of a dollar.
Because it's a quarter cent. Oh, no.
Quarter of a dollar.
Are you sure? Quarter of a dollar. What
Are
about,
you okay?
What about a dime?
That's just when you pick up a honey at the club.
That's right. That's when you drop in a nice little assist.
Yeah, that's hot sauce.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's when you throw up a nice little alley-oop.
Yeah. All right. We'll see everyone Monday. That's it, Bubba?
Yep.
Good job.
Thank you.
I hope good job because this show's not out yet as we're sitting here. I'm going to say a name for Monday's show, and if he doesn't show up for Monday's show, then it's going to be a problem.
We'll cancel him?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's Mark Titus. To talk about the Final Four, Mark Titus, you are canceled. Everyone, tweet Mark Titus and say if you don't come on Sunday, you are canceled.
Love you guys.